You're listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From beautiful downtown Columbia, South Carolina, this is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and of all the places you could be, you have decided to spend a few moments with us. For that, we are incredibly grateful. I think this sentence has begun more of these shows than any other phrase that I've ever uttered. But I'm just gonna say it again. Have you ever just had one of those days? Oh man, you know I'm not gonna get too serious about a couple things, but I have had, you know, the past couple days, I've had the odds stacked against me. I've had a couple things surface that I don't really like, and I've kind of been a little bummed out. So to rectify this matter, luckily I'm getting somebody that I've wanted on the show for quite a while. And she's going to join us here in just a few moments, and I could not be more excited to have her on. So I'll introduce her here in a few moments when she's ready for me to give her a shout. But in the meantime, I want to tell you about where I am right now. There's a guy over in Israel. I don't know if you've heard about this. This has been something that's popped up today. This was a news article in the Times of Israel. And the headline is, Man Seeks Restraining Order Against God. Haifa resident asks court to keep the Almighty away, claiming he is being mean to him. Here's the gist of the story. An Israeli man has petitioned the Haifa Magistrates Court for a restraining order against God, claiming the Almighty has been particularly unkind to him. The initiator of the request, a resident of the northern port city, represented himself in court, of course, the Walla News site reported on Wednesday. A protocol of the hearing noted that God did not turn up for the session, although it did not specify how the court determined the omnipresent was not, in fact, there, as opposed to merely exercising the right to remain silent. The gist of it is this guy noted that he had tried to obtain a restraining order for police for the past 3 years. They had sent him to home in a patrol car on 10 occasions, saying that God's had a negative attitude towards him, although the details of just what the defined mischief he had borne the brunt of were not mentioned in the report. There have been times in my life that I have, that I've questioned the existence of a greater being. I think any of us that are of some mature age have done it. You go through life, you have your doubts, you question. People talk badly about Thomas in the Bible, and I still contend he's more like us than any of the rest of them. We just don't like to admit that. And there are times that I've thought, I don't really know if the Almighty is there or not, or is the Almighty forgotten about me? Or, you know, I've uttered those words. Some of you that are close friends of mine have heard the more dramatic side of Chad come out and probably utter those words. There have been a couple times, though, that I've been very serious about that. Very dark times in my life that I've wanted to believe that there's there, but seeing no proof of him around, or at least what I was considering proof, you know, I started to question. Those are very dark times. I have never once, though, tried to take legal action against the Lord. I don't know how many of you are Christian or actually, you know, like any of our non-atheists that may listen to the show. But I do want to say that if you're thinking about suing God, he's kind of the guy that I wouldn't do that against. You know, there's a scene in I think it's the second Christopher Nolan Batman movie. The Holy Trinity of Batman movies. And there's a scene where this guy has figured out who Bruce Wayne is, and he goes up to one of the closest confidants of Batman, Mr. Lucius Fox, and says that he wants $20 million a year for the rest of his life to keep quiet. And Morgan Freeman, who plays Lucius, looks down at him and says, let me get this straight. You claim that your boss, a billionaire playboy, is secretly at night a vigilante who goes about beating up people, smashing rooftops, and breaking into places that seem inhumanly possible. And your idea is to blackmail him? Good luck. That's kind of the way I feel about this cat that has decided to put a restraining order against God. You know, good luck with that one, buddy. Good luck getting him to stay out of your life. And, you know, maybe if things aren't going your way, maybe you shouldn't blame the guy upstairs. And all kidding aside, that's where I am this week. That's where I am. I have a confession that I've made. Some of my close friends know this, and I don't mind talking about this a little bit, and I won't go into great detail. But I've had small, not very serious, but very small battles with depression over a few years, probably a little bit more than I realized. Nothing that made me have to go on medication. I know a couple people in my life that have really dealt with depression in a very serious way. And I am in no way trying to say that I've needed the same kind of help or guidance that they've needed. Not that I'm denying that. I don't want to trivialize how severe it can really be. It is one of those that I will tell you. Anytime I see a friend that's got a hint of it, I tell them, you could go get help. It'll ruin your life. But I had bouts of it, and it kind of stemmed from my divorce. So when I was going through my divorce, I was going to a therapist, and I actually talked. They asked that I talk to a doctor about it, and I didn't go on any medication, but I did go on a very strict diet for a short period of time. When I lost a lot of weight, I've since gained all that back. I was running every other day because it was stress, it was a lack of direction, and there were a lot of things that feed into what I will loosely call my depression that allows for me to sink into this funk where I really have a hard time pulling myself out of. Luckily, though, I'm very aware of it. I can sense myself going into it, and what I try to do is not allow myself to pile stuff on top of me. A couple of days and today have just been the worst. The new job's going great. Love it. Great company. Good people. A lot of good resources, but there's a lot of uphill battles. I mean, what I work in is not an easy line of work. It does have very strange and sometimes very, very heartfelt problems that go along with it. But I've got some great friends that work in this business as well. I love kind of talking shop with them, as Matt and I did, at least somewhat soberly last week. If any of you, I've gotten a ton of emails on the show. So let me go ahead and say this. If you did send in an email, the email address is localbarmail@gmail.com. If you did send in an email, no, Matt and I were not pretending to be drunk. That was we were a little bit overserved here at the bar that night. But no, sometimes, you know, I knew my job was going to have these obstacles that I've been facing, and I'm fine with that. But one of the things that is a trigger factor for me with my depression, or I'm going to call it my funk, okay? Again, not to pretend like I'm in denial, but just not to trivialize people that are really going through, you know, real depression, hardcore depression. And again, I'm not a therapist, guys. I'm not a doctor. If you're feeling any little bit of it, you should at least go talk to somebody. But between my doctor and my therapist, what they explained to me is, as long as I'm aware, and if I feel it coming on, make sure that I'm exercising, make sure that I'm eating right. These are a couple things that I have not done this week, so I'm doing it today. One of the things, though, that is very apparent is when it's starting to set in, I can feel it. And one of my trigger factors is if I actually don't have a lot to do. Now, I have a lot to do with my new job, but it's really kind of one of these situations that I actually struggle with. It is basically, Chad, the world is your oyster. Go out there and find us some patients. I don't do very well with that. And the database we use that has all of our clients, you know, I thought all my clients would be in there. I'd start searching. I'd figure out who was what. And I go to look into it, and I have no accounts. And I ask that question, like, where did all my accounts go? What, you haven't assigned them to yourself? Now don't tell Chad to assign accounts to. I'm going to assign every single one of them that's not scooped up by somebody. They're all coming to Chad, you know. So I'm having to do computer work and all that in order to get organized. It was a step that I did not see coming. It is just one of those things that you have to do. I don't like it. I wish we could do things a little differently, but it's just the situation I'm in. But I know that that will cause me to get into this little bit of a funk. So what do? At night, I try to plan exactly where I'm going to go. I make a task list of what I need to accomplish that day. But what will happen in the slippery slope you can start down on is if you don't finish that list, and then you're like, oh, well, I was never going to get it done anyway. And then you wake up the next day, and you either have too much or not enough. You're like, all right, I'll just complete yesterday's. Well, that doesn't make you feel good, because then you feel like you just wasted a day. And so it's real easy to get into this kind of a funk. And I've felt myself sliding there a little bit, so I've tried to stay a little bit positive and figure things out. The other thing is I've looked around for friends of mine that can kind of help me out. And there's a friend of mine that this week got a new job. And this person was actually in the middle of just a crazy, crazy course of events at work that they didn't see coming. And it really was very strange. A lot of this person's friends, they're very unsure about what's going to happen. It's a very scary place to be in the world, especially, we always say this economy, but anytime you're forced to go out and find a job, that's tough. But over the course of events, this person has stayed extremely positive and just known that it was going to work out and kept this kind of unwavering faith that to some people may seem a little naive, but they didn't. They kept it. And the situation for them turned out to be so good that not only did they turn down one job for another one, one job offer, they ended up getting a raise out of it, and a substantial one at that. So it is one of those things that I look around for people that I see as they're going through extremely tough times. How are they handling? And I love the fact that I've surrounded myself with people that do that. But I also have people in my life that go the other way, and I have to be very careful about that, because while somebody is being like that, and I'm very happy for this person, then I got somebody else in my life that, they've gotten their professional life together, but God Almighty, they won't get their personal life together, will not get it together. And I had to do something today that I didn't want to do, and I thought it was a little bit negative towards the people that were involved with this afternoon. I'm sorry, I've got to stay this vague. And it's just one of those things that as I'm leaving, I went on a little walk before I started the show tonight. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how is it that you've gotten your professional life so together and your personal life is still ridiculous? And it doesn't just bother me for superficial reasons. It bothers me because people watch you too. There are people watching you. Maybe they're kids. Maybe they're adults. I'm glad that I have those people in my life that are positive, that go through the hard times. Yeah, we slip up every now and then. We all have our days. But it just drives me nuts. So I'm dealing with that. I'm getting kind of down, but keeping the exercise up as best I can, and trying to watch what I eat and be smart and stay away from the alcohol. Excuse me for a second. That's grape juice. But I am excited because one of the people that I'm going to bring on the show here and introduce to you is someone that is incredibly positive, incredibly wonderful. Someone that every time I've been around her, she's just kind of got this magic about her. Her family is very positive, and I'm sure they've gone through their bouts of hard times, because one of the hardest times in my life was actually tied in with this family. There's a guy I was really close to growing up. His name's Ralph Buchanan. Still to this day, it's hard for me to find anybody that measures up to him, and I'm not the only one that would say that. Ralph was my dad's best friend. He was a guy that taught me and my sister how to tie our shoes and how to ride a bike. And his son, his youngest son, Kevin, is the oldest friend that I have. We knew each other when we were, I think, three. We lived beside each other on Paris Mountain for 8 years. And it kind of seemed like our lives were going to be intertwined for forever. And strangely enough, even though time and space have tried to come in between us, we still, every time I see Kevin, it's the same. We really haven't changed since fifth grade. We just haven't. But it's the same old guy. And his wife, Julie, married into the family after Ralph's passing. It was in 1999, one of the hardest weeks of my life. It was a week where a lot of things were going on that greatly shaped the course of my life over the next 16, 17 years. And Ralph's passing was not only a shock, but definitely one of those things that did that. But I don't want to get all sad, because see, I understand that I can get on here and cry and bitch and moan, and I've told you before that this is kind of my therapy, but that's not really what I want to do, because I want to bring people in here to make you happy. And I had an episode not long ago where I was all salty, and I've listened to it, and the whole time I'm just thinking to myself, Chad, you need to get over yourself, man. So I thought about that today, and I was like, you know what? I got all this stuff going on. I got this funk that I'm sliding into. Why don't I just get Julie to hop on here with me, and we have ourselves a little talk? So here is my friend, and it's weird to say friend. It feels like she should be a family member. Here is my good friend, Julie. And when we're done, I want to explore a little bit more about this guy that's got the restraining order against God on the other side of the break. See you in a few.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
So with us this week is the lovely and talented Julie Buchanan, wife to Kevin Buchanan, which means she should have a statue built in her name just for that reason, mother of Stella. Julie, how are you doing?
I am all right. How are you, Chad?
I'm doing good. Now, I'll go ahead and explain. I was talking a little bit before about Kevin. Kevin and I go back all the way to Paris Mountain, and one of the things I was saying before you hopped on, Julie, is that it's funny when I say my friend Julie, because with our relationship with the Buchanans, it feels like I should say like relative. Like it doesn't feel like it should be just friend.
Exactly.
And it's kind of funny, but you and your husband and your beautiful daughter Stella just came back from Disney World a week or two after us, and your pictures are awesome. And I'm really kind of, you know what, I'm kind of kicking myself. I wish we could have planned it a little bit differently and both been there at the same time. That would have been an absolute blast.
That would have been amazing.
What was your favorite part the whole time you were down there?
My favorite part was the fact that we planned an early reservation this time to go to a counter service, which is kind of like walking up to a fast food type thing. It's the only one in Disney World that has early reservations at Be Our Guest. And we had an 8 o'clock reservation. So We got there. This entailed getting up super early. We were staying on site, hopped on in at 7 o'clock in the morning, stood in line. At 7:45, they let us in. We were the second family to walk into Magic Kingdom.
Wow.
So the first batch of pictures where there's no one behind Stella, no one behind us, is because we were just wandering around.
Wow, that's all right. That's and
the Magic Kingdom, which was nice. Yes, it was funny. I did have to laugh that the fog set in, and I was like, "Of course," because 6 months ago I planned to be there early. You can't see the castle from the railroad station at Main Street. You can't see it at all.
Yeah,
but that's okay. It was lovely, and we had the best time. Just wandering around and getting in lines early. We did amazing things in the first hour we were there. It was awesome.
So this is not y'all's first time. How many times have y'all been before?
Stella and I had only been one time before when we surprised her for her her ninth birthday. Kevin had been a couple of times previously growing up, but this was only our second time going.
So did Kevin go with you and Stella the first time?
Yes.
Okay. So y'all went in September, and this time you went in April. So big difference?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty big difference in heat, especially. You know, the summer builds in Florida, and so September is still pretty brutal.
Yeah.
April was a lot nicer. A lot nicer.
All right, well, yeah, I thought so too. We only had a couple of like hot days, but other than that, they were pretty cool. I noted there was something that you did on the. As far as the countdown, there's something that you and Stella would do is y'all had like a calendar that had different things. Now explain this calendar, because I saw it on Facebook and your little countdown chalkboard, but explain to me what y'all did, how y'all shared that counting down the days to Disney.
We have a very fun pantry door that we have in chalkboard paint. So we change it out whenever we want to. So since we were counting down, we started at 10 weeks. And each weekend, we would choose a movie, usually one that we hadn't seen in a while, one that we weren't super familiar with, and theme a meal around the movie, and just draw on the chalkboard and start counting down from 10, which we started in February for our April trip. Started with Mulan, and honestly, I had never seen Mulan. We found the movie and just got it from the library, or some we got from Redbox, and some we just don't watch all the time. We were just going to theme the meal to the movie. We actually just ordered out Chinese. I know that's kind of quirky, but we did that for that one. And found some really pretty images from the movie and drew them on the board and pulled out quotes and just got to know it a little bit better and just got more familiar and did it with some of our favorites and some that we haven't seen and counted down that way. So each weekend with a different theme.
Now, where does the artist come from? Is that you? I can't remember Kevin being a stellar artist.
Well, he's actually pretty good, but I like to draw. I like to play around with that kind of stuff. I like to paint. Stella and I do a lot of stuff together. The more we go on, I do get a little bit of Kevin saying, wait, I want to draw one. Because if you go back to Lady and the Tramp night, we had spaghetti and meatballs, because
right,
what else did you have for Lady and the Tramp? And he actually helped me with the dogs. I couldn't get them right. And he was like, give me the chalk. And I was like, go at it. Do it. And so he has fun with it too.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I know.
Well, it's always funny. I was bragging a little bit about you pre you and I getting on the phone here. And one of the things though that I didn't talk about was like I've always been so impressed with your family. I remember the first time that I ever met Stella was at a Mexican restaurant. And I remember how, you know, like how happy she was, how well mannered she was, and just how wonderful and just like she's just a really happy child. And I remember saying after we left, I was like, God, I mean, I hope if we have a child, they're just like that. And I'm going to tell you, like a lot of, I think what we had in our mind growing up was as we started working with Brent on things, is I think we had like Stella in mind. Like that, I mean, she's such a wonderful, happy kid. And she's
Thank
growing
you.
By leaps and bounds. Every time I see a picture of her, I cannot believe it.
I know.
It's just crazy. Well, but one of the things that I have always been impressed with is how happy your family is. And I was talking a little bit. I'll kind of cue you in here a little bit. It's just about dealing with some stuff and surrounding yourself with happy people, trying to find your way out of funks whenever you get into them. You know, like a little
right.
bit of, not like full on depression, but little light stuff and how you.
Oh, right.
It. And it's so funny because I do think of y'all. I do think of y'all often, obviously, because of the connection that our families will always have. But one of my favorite things and one of my favorite people to talk about is your husband. And I love to talk about Kevin because a lot of my friends growing up always said that I was the luckiest guy they've ever met. Somehow I had some string of luck that was going to get me out of something, that would keep me alive. I don't know. I can point to so many things that it seems like I've just got this great luck. And I can make an argument that Kevin got the exact opposite. Like Kevin's a guy that always had the funniest things happen to him. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kevin's had, like, working with his job, he's been, I know he's been electrocuted. I know he's been chased by a bull. Wasn't there something with bees? Was that somebody else that got stung by a billion bees?
No, he's been electrocuted surveying. He's been chased down by yellow jackets. Yes, he's had to hop into yards where dogs have him cornered. I mean, yes.
And you know, it's funny. It's like I remember. And here's how, you know. Now I didn't see Kevin do any of that. I've just heard the stories, and of course we're all on the front porch laughing while we're telling the stories.
Of course.
But I remember when we were kids. I remember one time one of our favorite things to do was like play football right behind the end zone at Travelers Rest High School. I don't know who in the world let a bunch of kids just play football there. I mean, it would have been real easy for us to get hurt. And one day, Kevin's just like being a goof, and he'd grab the ball and get down on all fours and start crawling, just laughing his tail off. Well, we all pile on him like kids do. And Kevin's still sitting there laughing, and he wouldn't get up. And I tried to help him up, and he's like, "No, man, my foot's broken." Laughing the whole time. And his foot really was broken. I mean, so I see him being chased by bees, laughing his rear end off. I mean, that's the mental picture I have in my mind. Tell me that I'm not somewhat on track with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. I mean, he's always doing something and just going, you know, just kind of messing with anything, and it'll bite him a little bit, whatever it is, an engine, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know, I think that's where he gets the thing that his dad always said, well, you'll only do it once.
Right.
You know, if you...
That's the most amazing thing about Kevin, though. He's done a lot of things once that most people haven't done, and it's just amazing,
yeah.
You know. So while I can sit here and say that he's got bad luck, actually, he's got some pretty good luck to get out of some of these situations, too. So.
Yeah, we've decided he's got the horseshoe as well.
I got it. Well, one of the things, Julie, that I am, and going back to this again, I'm always so impressed with how happy of a family you guys are. Now, I didn't... You know, you and I, it feels like I've known you forever just because of the way that, I mean, like, I call you a Buchanan. It's almost like you're a sister. I mean, you're so much like everybody in that family that it just seemed like when, I remember the first time, do you remember the first day I met you? You don't remember this. It's okay.
I'm not sure that I do.
It was at your wedding. That was the first day we had ever met.
That's what I was going to say. I think that it was at my wedding,
right.
But I wasn't sure if you came up before that or not.
No, I didn't. That was when we were living in Charlotte, and we came down for your mm-hmm. wedding, and I remember, I think it was David's kids running around, like, driving Ruth crazy
yep.
that day. But it was such a gorgeous wedding, such an incredible location. And y'all had, it was really neat, and it was iconically the two of you. I mean, your wedding really was. And there was something about being there for y'all's ceremony that just seemed to fit. For some reason, you and Kevin have always seemed to just fit. And one of the things, though, that I'll tell you that may sound kind of ridiculous, but it seems like you never have a problem. And the reason why it seems like you never have a problem, I'm not going to ask you personal questions about being married to Kevin, because God knows I'm sure there's some. But it seems like y'all never go through a bad day. But which I know is not true. Y'all never complain.
Right.
You're always happy. As the matriarch of that wonderfully happy family, how the hell do you do it?
Well, I mean, like you said, that's not necessarily the case. Everybody's got a surly day every now and again. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, it fits. It fits. And when you say that I'm a Buchanan, I am a Buchanan. When I look at Lee, I feel like she's my sister. When I look at Ruth, I feel like she's my mom. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that fit. When I go to Georgia, when I go to the fair, it's amazing. It's just where I'm supposed to be. And so when you're where you're supposed to be, even if it's a bad day, it's okay.
Huh.
You know, and you know, having Stella, Kevin and I have said, you know, we feel like she's not always easy. I mean, she's a great kid. Like you say about Bryn, it's not always perfect, but almost all the time, she's got the best parts of both of us, which makes me incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. And, you know, I've known Kevin since the first day that we went to Winthrop, and it's just one of those things. Like, sometimes you just know. It just might take a minute for it to happen, but it you just know that that's what's supposed to happen. And it's good.
You know, something just popped in my head that I have never asked you, and yeah. I feel kind of dumb for never having asked this. So you've known Kevin since the beginning of Winthrop?
First day.
So did you know Ralph?
Yes, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
Just briefly with going back and forth to school.
Gotcha.
So since we're strangely, you know, we both grew up in Greenville, and Kevin and I probably should have known each other before we even got to Winthrop, but
yeah.
we didn't.
Yeah.
We met up there. But so, yes, I knew Ralph very briefly.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, you know, it's funny that you say that about the place, because that was always something that was very Ralph-like to me. You know, Ralph was the one that introduced me to Gay, Georgia. We went down there a couple of times to the cotton picking
field. Yeah.
And for those of you that didn't know where Gay, Georgia is, and you think that I'm making this up, no, it's a city about the size of your backyard, and
yep.
it is it's where is it down southwest Georgia?
It is. Yeah, west. It's about an hour outside of Atlanta, and probably about an hour outside of Alabama. You know, it's just on down.
I remember the last time I went to Gay, Georgia. I remember driving, riding back with me, Abby, Kevin, David, and Lee, and we were asleep
uh-huh.
in the back of Ralph's pickup truck. There was a camper over the back of it. But asleep in the back
yes.
of Ralph's pickup truck. I remember we all woke up to see the dome of the Capitol in Atlanta. We thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, no way in hell would you get away with driving all the way from Gay, Georgia to Travelers Rest nowadays with nobody in seatbelts. But it was it actually is one of my fondest memories of coming back from that trip.
Kevin says that too.
I do.
Yeah.
one of the things that I did like about Ralph is something that you said. There's something about his place. Like, Ralph was very at home in Travelers Rest. He was very at home in Gay. As a matter of fact, when my dad did Ralph's funeral, he even mentions that,
mm-hmm.
that Ralph had his places. And there was something about being on Paris Mountain and something about being around the Buchanans in a place where everybody felt comfortable that
yeah.
for years – I've tried to emulate, and now, as you know, since I've been divorced and trying to figure life back out, is something that I'm greatly trying to mimic. And I realize it's from Ralph and the Buchanans that I look for
uh-huh.
that. You and Kevin have that. Like, I go to y'all's house, and I don't want to leave. Like, last time we were up there when we came by to see you guys, was it last year?
Yeah.
Like, I feel it is the most comfortable place. That I can.
That is the happiest thing you could tell me. That's awesome.
So how do you? Is it something that you set out to do? Is it something that just happens? Is it something that somehow Kevin brings that along? Like, how do you have a house that is that warm, loving, and comfortable, almost seamlessly, without a struggle?
Well, it's funny. We call the whole end of the neighborhood the vortex, because it is just happy and fun here, and once you get sucked in, you just don't want to get back out. But I don't know, this house is wonky and we're not done with it, and it's just always a work in progress, but it's our home and we love it. And I mean, I don't know, I don't think we mean to set out on any kind of, you know, way to keep people here, but it is one of those things when you get out here, you sit on the porch and you hang out, it's just fun. And I don't see why you wouldn't have a home that's fun and inviting and lovely to look at, and that's just kind of how we roll. I mean,
is that how your house was growing up when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, it was just me and my mom, so it was one of those things where there weren't a ton of people coming and going, but my family always did hang out. I have a very small family, as opposed to the Buchanans, especially when you go to Georgia. It was just me and my mom and my grandparents, but, you know, we definitely hung out, and my mom definitely made everything very pretty, and to where you don't want it to be different. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. What What do you guys have? Like, so you just finished up the Disney trip, and that was fun and exciting, and it's something great to count down to. What are y'all counting down to now? Just summer? Like, what's the big thing on the Buchanan's list?
Oh my goodness, I always like to count down to things. Well, we are counting down to summer. It'll be nice for Stella to get summer break, and we don't have a whole lot of plans. She's got some adventures with her grandmother. She'll go with Ruth for a little bit of it and with my mom for a little bit of it and spend her summer kind of doing various things. She's in sewing class, and she's going to take a gymnastics camp and a volleyball camp and things like that. But we're just looking forward to just chilling out and having a little bit of fun, maybe doing some spontaneous little long weekends here and there.
Yeah, yeah. So Kevin, I remember at my sister's wedding, which was, oh my God, two years ago? I can't remember. And I remember all of us having a great time in the pool at that little motel, watching the Clemson game. I'll never.
That was amazing.
That was a blast. That was one great night. And we're like, somehow we're separated from everybody else that had anything to do with the wedding, and we're all the three of us are beachfront and as happy as can be. You know,
it was amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, I was telling my girlfriend about you and talking about Kevin and stuff, and I talked about Clemson. She's a Clemson grad, so she was happy to know that y'all were such
Clemson
as well. But you know, it's been a while since we've hung out. But I remember Kevin was starting a job or looking at starting a job. He's still with the same job. He's liking it and everything.
Yes, he is. He is with the same job. It is fantastic.
Good. I know he was traveling a lot more with that other one though, wasn't he?
He was traveling with the job before that, which was really rough because, you know, it just kind of changed the dynamic every single day.
Yeah.
Was it just me and Stella here eating? Is Kevin home? I mean, it was pretty rough. And that was luckily just a little stint in the journey. So this new job is fantastic. It's literally across the street from our house.
Oh, perfect. That's awesome.
I know. We live in like a 6-mile radius of our house at this point. We don't have to venture past that.
Unless we
want to go to Disney World.
I was going
to
say, like, that's when you pull the horse-drawn carriage out to get all the way down there. You can walk everywhere else.
We're like Amish at this point.
I hear you. You know, I was thinking about you, and I was glad, because I want to let you know, I've had you circled. To be on this show because, you know, the reason why I even have this show is because of the people that I know that have great positive messages or great positive people. And you're one of the first ones that I ever originally wanted, but I've never asked you or something else has popped up. But I thought about you this week, number one, because of Ralph's birthday the other day. But Courtney and I are going to a Brandi Carlile concert this weekend. And that's the concert
that I love her.
Yeah, that we all went to up in Asheville. And had a blast that night. I remember, I think you fell off the bed or something. I can't remember what happened that night. But
I did have a tumble, yes.
But I remember, you know, again, it's another one of those times that every time I'm around you guys, you know, it's amazing because I do feel comfortable. I do, yeah, I mean, part of it's, yeah, because Kevin's the oldest friend I got. And there's some lineage between us that I can't mimic with anybody else, nor would I want to. It's just the way we are. But there's something about y'all that's always so comforting. It's always so positive. It's always so nice. And if you're sitting around sometime after the show and you realize what that secret formula is and you think, oh, my God, I didn't say that's what it is on the show. And you know exactly what that secret is to having a happy, successful, great family life. I want you to email the show so I can read it back out to everybody. That's really what I'm looking for here.
I will, but I think it's just getting up and telling yourself it's fine. You know, we all have to pep talk ourselves each day before we leave the house, like Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live for crying out loud. You know, I tell Stella the same thing. You know, I'm like, you know, it's fourth grade social studies. It doesn't make or break you. You know, if you're worried about something, how much worry does it actually deserve?
True.
It's kind of the way we roll around here. How much energy does that deserve? If it's not much, then let's just go Mary Poppins style and and tidy up the nursery, you know, with every task you undertake.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Just
do it, and it's way easier to be nice than it is to be anything else. So it's one of those things where I just feel like, I don't know, we've just kind of had an attitude kicking around here where it's just nice and fun.
Yeah, that's
if there's no magic involved, then what's the point?
That's really cool. Well, all right, before we go, I'm going to do something with you here. I'm going to swap stories with you. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to tell me something. You know what my favorite, I don't think I've ever told you about this. You know what my favorite Ralph Buchanan memory is?
What is that?
That fool would come around, and like, you know, Ralph was not the most musically inclined person. Bonnie, who was the organist at the church and my piano teacher one time, was laughing about Ralph. And I think she said he couldn't tell the difference between a quarter note and a canker sore. But Ralph, he would come over and we'd be downstairs and he would just come in, just big old, you know, quiet Ralph, just coming in until he sneezes or has to yell at me or kill me.
Exactly like Kevin. Yeah.
But he would he would sit there, and if I was playing, I'll never forget this as long as I live, the Oak Ridge Boys song Elvira, he would sit there and stomp his feet and clap his hands and sing that. Like, he loved that damn song, and I used to think it was the funniest thing to watch him sit there and sing that song. And he would sing it all the way through till the song was over, and then he'd walk upstairs. Like, it was like something that magically hypnotized him, and he had to sing that horrible song. And it's not a song that you hear on the radio much, but God Almighty, every time I hear it,
but if it comes on, everything stops.
That's right. So I have to ask you. I want to know. I know you've got millions of them, but what's your favorite? Because after we get off the air, I'm going to talk about Kevin here for a little bit. But what's your favorite Kevin Buchanan memory or moment that y'all one of your favorites?
Oh my gosh, I mean, that's a tough question because he's my hero. I mean, I don't even know. But along the same lines as the story, Kevin knows every lyric to every song ever written, which is the strangest thing. I mean, he can't remember anything. And he knows this. So I'm not saying anything that's not just known. But he knows every lyric to every song ever written. And one really cool thing is anytime, this is just one song in particular because Stella knows a bunch of them, but Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'.
Yeah.
If it comes on, we break into parts. Just like you said, you and Adrian did with the Tangled song.
Uh-huh.
And we just sing that song because Stella knows it. And it's one of those things, like, I know Kevin knows a whole bunch of music, but there's something about that song comes on and everything stops. And everybody has to break into their part and keep going. But that's always fun. We have a lot of music kicking around here. And we're always proud when Stella is her favorite band is Queen, for
is
crying
really?
Out loud.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So it's one of those things, like, she listens to our jam bands. She knows the Beatles. She knows Queen. She teaches us the Frozen soundtrack, all the crazy stuff. But
right.
I don't know. I mean, there's not a favorite Kevin moment because, I mean, it's every day.
Right.
It's every day. And we were laughing yesterday because I was trying to text him and I was just saying, I love you. It was really all I was texting. But of course it autocorrected to life. I like you. And I was like, seriously? So I tried to correct myself, but before I could, he texted me back. He was like, I like you too.
That fool. Well,
I mean, it's just a sense of humor. You know, we just kind of have the same sense of humor, and it keeps on making everything fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys really are a testament and somebody that's, I know I'm not the only one that would say y'all are important because of who you are and how you are and how you live your life. But I am so happy to have you on the show. It's so good to hear your voice again. I don't hear it enough. We need to keep up. Of course, we always say that. But thanks for coming and hanging out with me on the show tonight. I really do appreciate it, Julie.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, talk to you later. You know, I have people that ask me quite often here in South Carolina if I'm from the South. Those of you that listen outside of the United, of the Southern United States probably think I sound like I'm from here, but I get it a lot. People will say, "Well, you really don't have an accent, do you?" And one of the things that I think is hilarious is that I've been named by quite a few of my friends as a city boy, which is, I mean, I'm not some farmhand, but I lived on the side of a mountain for 10 years. And that was our jam back then. So put that in your corncob pipe and smoke it. I'm so happy that Julie came on. And, you know, it's always so nice to be able to talk with her. Tons of emails, people asking, you know, like, how do we do this? How do we do that? One of the things that I love about the Buchanan family, but I do think that Julie embodies it so well. She and Kevin do. But I give a lot of it is just Julie and her optimism that she just exudes. You know, keeping it simple. One of the things that she said that just stuck with me is, you know, how much worry does it actually deserve? God, you know, that's, think about that. For everything that you deal with, how much worry does it actually deserve? It's a good question because it helps you prioritize some things. Right? Some things you should worry about. But other things, like, do you really need to worry this much about it? I think it's nice to kind of walk down memory lane a little bit with Julie. Kevin is like one of the oldest friends I've got, and when I look back on my life up to these 38, soon to be 39 years, Kevin is one of the most important people because Kevin is a true testament. Kevin's just always been there. We don't see each other as much as we should. We don't keep up because life. It just does. But anytime we get together, it's always a good time, and it always kind of refreshes me a little bit, and I always appreciate my time with Kevin, and it's far too short. I'll tell you one little thing for any of you that know us or knew us, especially growing up, that one of the common mistakes that I see people make is they look at my dad's relationship with Kevin's dad and how close they were and best friends they were and how awesome that is, and I was always so appreciative of that church, of never being jealous over the two of them working on so many church projects and doing so much of the community together. It was always just kind of a neat thing. But people will look at that relationship and think that's mine and Kevin's. It's not. You know, one of the things that Kevin and I will probably say if we have a couple of drinks, which I think we've both said before, he may get mad at me for saying this, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but one of the issues that he and I've had growing up, it's not that big of a thing, but every now and then we'd go somewhere and you hear, it's like, oh my God, he's so much like his dad. And like, I've tried to go back to churches where my dad's preached and they want Mike Alexander. They don't want Chad Alexander. Kevin with his dad having passed over 15 years ago, you know, it's kind of a hard deal. You know, like, you know, Kevin's his own guy. So I'll tell you the one thing that I've always loved is Kevin and I have our own friendship. It's our own weird relationship. There's not a morning that I wake up that I don't think about Kevin Buchanan. It's kind of a funny story, Kevin, if you're listening. My girlfriend Courtney, when we met, you know, the first time we were having, I think it was a date like a couple of weeks later, and we're having one of those little cutesy moments, like, oh, what did you think the first time we saw each other, blah blah blah, all that stuff. And one of the things she said is like, the first thing I noticed was that cute little dimple you have over your eye that just kind of pops up whenever you're smiling. That's not a dimple, baby. That's a bullet wound from Kevin Buchanan. Yeah, about 2 inches above my eye. Kevin accidentally shot me in the head when we were kids. And it's still there. The older I get, the more predominant it gets. So I have a reminder of Kevin Buchanan. And because I did not lose sight in my eye, it is kind of a nice thing. I actually have a physical scar that ties me with the Buchanans. I'm sure somewhere between the two of us, we got scars all over that ties to the Buchanans. But one of the things that I do think about all the time, whenever I'm going through a time like this, is I do think about Ralph. Go back to this idiot that wants to put up the restraining order against God. Now, obviously, this guy probably just isn't right in the head. or he's looking for attention. I mean, most of the time, that's what it is. Some guy just isn't thinking clearly. Maybe he has some kind of mental stress. Maybe he's just an attention seeker. Who knows? But if you really think that you want to shut the Almighty out, you're probably going the wrong way. So I work in hospice. Matt and I talked about that a little bit last week. And one of the questions that whenever I'm sitting around with my friends that are atheists at the bar, not as they're going through hospice, but at the bar and everybody starts up these conversations, one of the things that any of us that work in hospice will tell you, it's funny, even the atheists start praying whenever it gets towards the end. And I'm going to tell you, it's usually not out of fear. It's one of the benefits that I get to see with my job that's kind of amazing. So I am a spiritual guy. I do know that, and I make no bones about that. I don't get on here and preach, but I make no apologies for being a spiritual guy. But one of the things that I think about a lot whenever I'm going through the funk like I'm going through now, like just work, trying to make sure I'm staying on top of it, a lot of other things, just financial stuff that pops up and rears its ugly head every now and then, a really ugly head every now and then, not too long after tax time every now and then. And then the other things with seeing someone that just is not being the example they need to be. God, you just want to tell them, just get your personal stuff together. You've got people watching you. One of the things that I think about is I do think about Ralph. Now, Ralph had his birthday the other day. He would have been, I don't know. He was a little bit older than Dab. And Ralph was always a neat guy because he was just that strong, felt like he's... No matter how tall I got, it felt like he was still 4 foot taller than everybody else. This big smile that you would see through his beard, real funny guy who tragically died of a heart attack way too early. And I've had family members that I've lost and people that I've loved that have been very close to me. But I mean, I'll tell you, I don't mind saying it. The sky just hasn't been as blue or grass as green since Ralph's passing. It was a big thing for a lot of people, especially his family and his son, or sons and his daughter. But even for me, I mean, who was stood outside the family border, but very close to it, and it was a shame because one of the things that I loved about Ralph is he always seemed to be there to give me guidance. Sometimes when I didn't even ask for it. As a matter of fact, I remember the last thing that Ralph ever told me. It was my sister's graduation from high school. He and Ruth, his wife, had come down, and we were. I think it was right after my 21st birthday. I spent my 21st birthday having beers with Ralph and Dad at my sister's graduation. And I remember Ralph put his big arm around me and looked down at me. It's the last thing that he ever said to me personally. And I remember he looked down at me with that big old grin, squeezed me a little bit too tight, and said, "You know, I can't get you and Kevin to do a dang thing straight." I am censoring this a little bit. And he looked down at me, and he's like, would you just do what's right? That's all you got to do. Just do what's right. It was funny. I took my daughter to see the Ratchet and Clank movie today before all this got on, before some of this that's got me in a funk went down. And there's this part where they talk about being a superhero. The guy looks up, and he says, "You don't have to go do the big thing. You just got to do the right thing." You know, I think there's a lot to be said for that because, you know, Julie talks about their house and how it's so comfortable, and that is something Courtney knows that I am striving for. I want, you know, for the longest time, I haven't felt as comfortable as I used to when I was at the Buchanan's house, and I'm envious of it. And God Almighty, I'm going to find a way to do it one day. But I understand what Julie says, is it's always a work in progress. Sure, yeah, I get you. I mean, that makes sense. You always got to do a little bit of work around the house, right? I'm talking literally and figuratively here. But one of the things, though, is I think a lot of times we think, well, if I could just redo the entire kitchen, you know, if I could just completely rip out the bathroom, you don't have to do the biggest thing, do you? Just do the right things. This little thing needs help here. Maybe just cleaning the kitchen today. Maybe sending another text that says, "I like you." You know, there's always something that we can do to make each other feel comfortable. Again, like I said at the beginning, if you're someone that really is battling with depression, hardcore depression, or even small, go see somebody about it. You don't ever want it to get out of control. But I'm very lucky in my life that I've had people like Julie, like Kevin, like Courtney, like folks, like my daughter, that surround me my, you know, obviously you've heard my dad on the show. I've got parents and family members, my grandparents, people that have surrounded me and given me something positive and something wonderful. But you know, it's always a work in progress. You're always trying to get something. So where am I now? Oh, I could worry about that stuff a little bit more. Yes, I've got a checklist of stuff that I've got to start getting done. Got to pull the orders in for work. I'm sure that I'll do it. Things are moving in the right direction. Just got to stay on top of it and can't fall behind with it. But the other stuff, you know, how much worry does it really need? Maybe there needs to be a little intervention here or there. Maybe. But do I have to let it consume me so much that it hurts me to where I'm not the person I need to be at work, the boyfriend to Courtney, the dad to Bryn? You know, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to still go out there and walk a little bit more tonight just to make sure I get the endorphins going. I'll probably play some video game that makes me happy, do a little bit of computer work and read and go to bed, and hopefully this cold that I'm fighting back the sniffles on will be gone by tomorrow. But I think there is something about that, about understanding that you're always a work in progress. And understanding that not everything needs all the worry that you're giving it. Some of it might, but some of it probably doesn't. And if anything else, it teaches you that just because you shoot somebody in the face when you're in fourth grade, it doesn't mean you can't be friends forever as well.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to throw the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your comments and questions to localbarmail@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming in. See you next week.
Yes, we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Go out there and have some fun this week. Don't sweat the small stuff. Remember, we're all a work in progress. Till next week, take care.